This is Sam Lowe's and you're tuning in to Mr. Media. This is Sammy Rose and you're tuning in to Mr. Media. Don't bring out the diary, don't change your tune. It's the coolest guy since.
I don't have an ending for that.
Oh, yesterday afternoon.
It's yesterday afternoon.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to heavenly voice singer-songwriter Gillette Johnson. Her debut EP, Whiskey and Frosting. Stick around and stand by for talk of filthy whores and young men who wear lipstick. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, brought to you today by the Stitcher app for mobile devices. Give it a test drive today at stitcher.com/mrmedia, Mr. Media. I love this free radio app, and I think you will too. stitcher.com/mrmedia. Today's episode of Mr. Media Interviews is brought to you by GoDaddy.com. You know GoDaddy.com from their wild and sexy commercials, but isn't it time you actually test drove their web hosting and domain registration services yourself? For a limited time, Mr. Media listeners can save 10% on the already low price of web hosting services at GoDaddy.com by entering the promo code POD4 at checkout. Again, that's 10% off web hosting when you go to GoDaddy.com and enter the promo code POD4, that's P-O-D, the number 4, at checkout. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of young men who can't stop watching Gillette Johnson's music videos over and over and over in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. While you're listening to that big, beautiful voice of Gillette Johnson's, don't forget to listen to the actual words coming out of her mouth. You might be a little surprised. In Pauvre Coeur, she'll slip a filthy whore reference amongst the ethereal, breathless singing. Sounds a little bit like Adele, with lyrics that are maybe a little more suggestive. And in Cameron, which Gillette will perform for us in a little bit, she tells the tale of a bullied young man who makes his father mad because he likes wearing lipstick. Now, Gillette has a unique perspective and, I suspect, a unique point of reference, making her songs sound like operatic ballads when they're very simple stories about what I suspect to be real-life people. Now, you can catch Gillette on the road in the month of January, opening for American Idol star Chris Allen in places such as Eddie's Attic in Decatur, Georgia, and right here in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida, at the State Theater on January 22nd. Gillette Johnson, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Delighted to have you here, now that I got my French out of the way. I was very impressed by the life and color in your songs. And I mean, you seem like someone who's very comfortable in her own skin and telling the stories that she wants to tell.
Thank you.
Is it, have you always had this kind of voice that you've shared?
Yeah, you know, I've always been very fearless with my writing. I won't say to the chagrin of my parents, but it's something that I've done since I was a little girl. I started writing when I was 8, and I've never shied away from difficult topics. And you know, as I've grown up and had real life experiences, they inspire real life words.
Are the songs that I referenced, Pauvre Coeur and Cameron, are those based in real life? It seemed like they must be.
Yeah, they are. You know, loosely. Yep. So I know someone who's very close to me who's transgender, and I've been very inspired by their story and their bravery. It is actually a child, mm-hmm. and it definitely inspired the character Cameron, but Cameron to me is also a song about sort of the universal me. It's Cameron's about me, you know. Cameron's about just being able to accept who you are, no matter what other people think about that. And, you know, Quilvercore kind of is in the same vein. I've definitely had life experiences that were difficult to swallow that inspired some of the lyric in Quilvercore. But, you know, Quilvercore is a song about an emotionally abusive relationship, whether it be romantic or not. And I think that most people have experienced that. So I definitely don't write my songs, you know, word for word with every one of my life experiences, but they're all definitely based in reality.
That's interesting. The Quilvercore is, you say it's an emotionally abusive relationship. The video captures that, but it also, it's a very flirty, very sexy video, which kind of almost sends kind of a mixed message, I think. No?
Well, I mean, I think that the message is that relationships are messy, and they are just as wonderful as they are painful. And I, with the help of my friend Kyle Thrash, who did the video, wanted to just capture a breathing organism, which I think we did, you know. I kind of think that it makes the song a little bit more sad if you capture some of the laughter and the fun.
Puts it in perspective.
Yeah.
And so, just out of curiosity, don't tell us anything you don't want us to know, obviously, but relationships, you're out on the road. This is the biggest tour you've done. You're going a lot of places. Do you have a relationship back home in New York, or are you meeting a lot of people on the road doing? I mean, I know we always hear about the men on the road and, you know, their thing.
I try not to talk about that side.
Okay. Well, that's a short Q&A. No, that's all right.
But, you know, I sing about my relationships. I don't speak about them.
Well, and I was going to ask you before, you were saying about, maybe sometimes the things you may sing about may make your parents uncomfortable. I was thinking about, people who watch this show know this, I talk about it frequently. I have a 16-year-old daughter, and I remember there came a point as a dad when I realized, oh my God, I have a little girl. I have to rethink what I talk about, what I have around the house, what I, you know, just a lot of things. And so I've kind of, you know, whereas before I became a parent, maybe I had pictures on my bulletin board of, you know, girls in bikinis or whatever. You know, that's all gone. But where I'm going with this is it reaches a point where she's 16 now and she's a young woman and she's thinking about and talking about things. And it seems like everything's come full circle because all the things that I put aside from a female perspective, she's now dealing with. And, I think it must be a little difficult for her and maybe sometimes for you to express yourself wholly as a young woman and yet, you know, be conscious of, well, you know, I still have a mom and dad. And
yeah, you know, I'm really lucky to have parents that are so supportive and, you know, they swallow their tongues all the time. I grew up in a house where I wasn't really allowed to curse, but I was allowed to speak my mind. And I was always allowed to express myself and follow my heart. So I took that and ran with it. I started writing songs that were real to me, and I never got any backlash from them. So that sort of was my cue to keep going. I think there was a moment when I was younger when I was like, man, I really don't want my parents to hear that. But that sort of inspired me to go farther because it was so exciting to write a song that felt a little bit like I wasn't supposed to write it. And then that made the song better. And now I'm at the point where it's just like, you know, my parents... I'm 23 now. My parents are like, yeah, please pretend that we didn't hear that. But I think also, you know, I don't think that I'm overly crass without reason. So I think there are things that my parents can relate to that maybe they wouldn't want to talk to their daughter about, but on some level it feels like real life.
Well, it's not, I'm thinking of, I think we've all heard Katy Perry's story a lot, where she, I think her dad is a minister, and she was raised in a very strict home, and you know, she's anything but that on the stage now, and you know, parents had to make a bit of an adjustment and allow for the fact that their daughter is an adult.
Yeah.
Just for my own sake, for my own purposes, I allow my daughter to curse, but I never let her speak her mind, just so we're clear.
Okay, good to know.
So, when did you, let's go back. When did you discover that you had some talent for music? Did you go through the usual, you know, taking piano, you're obviously at a keyboard now, you go through piano lessons when you were little, or, you know, how did that all develop?
I did. I mean, I started singing when I was an infant. You know, it was always something I wanted to do. And then my mom had this rule in our house that my brother and I would each take 5 years of piano lessons, and then we could do whatever we wanted. But if we have 5 years of piano lessons, then at least we have the tools to be musical or just to inspire our artistic sides. And so I started when I was like either 5 or 6, and it was horrible. It was really, really bad. I mean, I was a child, but it was painful to listen to. Mm. And my parents were convinced that I was going to be like a psychiatrist or maybe a novelist, but never a musician. And, you know, I was also singing all the time. And then when I was 8, the two sort of just started to come together. And I didn't necessarily become a better piano player yet, but I had the bug. Hmm. And I never looked back.
And do you remember when you wrote your first song and what it was about?
I do. I was 8 years old, and I don't think that this was the first song I ever wrote, but it's the first song that anybody ever heard that I had ever written. And it was about my dad's father passing away.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I always wrote about very sad things.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
I'm only going to ask because you are in front of a keyboard, but do you remember any of it?
To be honest with you, I don't. It's something like, at the age of 81, he had lived a full life. I don't know. Yeah, it was a sweet little song.
That's just amazing how you go from that conversational voice to that singing voice like that. It's just... You know, I mean, you're not in a studio. There's no one sweetening it. There's no one enhancing it. Wow.
Thanks.
That's a nice instrument. So where, as an adult, do you take inspiration? And both, and I'm kind of wondering if you separate it both as a singer and as a songwriter, because they're two very different talents.
They're very connected for me. I like to write where I sound good, because it inspires me. So like my sweet spot in my voice is my biggest writing tool. I'm really sonically driven. So I'll start off with chords and a melody, and words will fall out. Like I usually am singing words when I first start writing my song. And you know, I actually think that if a songwriter can sing, it's a huge advantage, because it's you want to write something when it feels good. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to write if you can't quite imagine what it's going to sound like.
Do you write at a piano, at a keyboard,
Well, I write mostly at a keyboard,
okay,
because I'm either traveling or in my apartment in Manhattan, and unfortunately I don't have the baby grand piano of my dreams yet, because I live in a very small apartment. So it's usually a keyboard, but when I get the chance, I'll sit down at a piano and write.
You know, the thing that I've always wondered about is when you're writing music and you're looking for that melody, have there been times when you've come up with something and then you play it for someone and they go, oh, that's such and such, and you go, ugh. Because there's so much music out there in the world, it's just so hard to be original.
It is, you know, I luckily haven't had that yet. And that is something that I definitely don't want to have happen. I mean, I've had people say, oh, that chord progression is similar to that thing, and then I'll be like, oh, okay, scratch that, you know? There's so many songs in the world now, you know, and the more time that goes by, the more songs get written. But I think that I never start writing a song by referencing another song.
Mm-hmm. No.
I always start from a really, like, pure place. Mm-hmm. So I think that helps. You know, oftentimes a lot of writers will say, I want to write a song that's a combination of this and this, and then they can run into trouble.
All right. Well, you're going to do a song for us, Cameron, from your debut EP, Whiskey and Frosting. Whiskey and Frosting, really?
Yeah.
Why Whiskey and Frosting?
Well, they're two of my favorite things.
Okay.
Although, now that I have to shoot a music video in like 3 weeks, they're having to take a backseat in my life. I love eating. I love consuming both things, and I also think that they aptly describe the songs on the EP because there's a bit of grit and fire and sweetness.
Mm. And I understand. Well, I guess I can guess at why you have to put aside. By the way, is there whiskey in that bottle?
No, this is water.
Oh,
but
water. Sure it is.
Catch me when I'm not on door.
Okay. So why do you not have to have frosting to make a video? It's just...
Oh, it's just that I have, like, the most intense sweet tooth ever. Oh. And I'm just... If I start with all the sugar, it just will never stop.
Okay.
And that's a bad recipe for people in life, you know? that's how people get diabetes.
Well...
So... I'm trying to avoid.
So, do you want your fans to show up with bottles of whiskey and say, you know, cupcakes to see your shows? Would that be a sign of affection?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Please bring them. Yeah.
Yeah. Join the party.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So, anything we should know about Cameron before you play that we haven't covered?
Just that Cameron is about a little boy who wants to be a little girl. And,
well,
you know,
that was a,
I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
All right. Well, that was the one sure thing that I took away from listening to it. I was just curious if there was more.
Some people, it's funny. I've only had one person be like, "So what's Cameron about?" And that's when you know they didn't listen to the song.
And that happens. We know that.
Yes, it does.
All right. Well, if you're ready, folks, this is Gillette Johnson singing Cameron from her debut EP, Whiskey and Frosting.
Cameron's in drag, makes his father mad. Since he was a little boy, I always felt more comfortable in lipstick. Teachers turn their backs off the bus. He runs and runs to get home before anyone can catch him. These days the world is full of aliens. The world is full of aliens, but you are the real life. You might. an alien camera. Cameron's in drag, makes his father mad. Since he was a little boy, he always felt more comfortable in lipstick. These days the world is full of aliens. The world is full of aliens, but you are a human. You're not an alien. You are a real.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. And by the way, the housekeeping staff says thank you very much for the show, but the folks in the next room, there's an older couple, they've asked you to keep the racket down.
Oh, my God. Story of my life.
Now, that was really, really nice. And I want to say, especially, it's nice because of the keyboard, we were actually able to see you. I'm holding my fingers up here like people can see. We were actually able to see you playing, and it's, you know, it's great. It's a...
That's awesome.
Very cool. So thank you for that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for letting me play. Oh, I love
it. You know. We'll have the waiters and waitresses collect your tips on the way out.
Fantastic. So, like, I'll use all the tips I can get.
We'll see what we can do. So is there something you would be doing, I mean, if you were not playing music, is there something else that drives you at this age?
Honestly, this is the only thing I've ever wanted to do. I started when I was so little that it just became an extension of who I am. It's like my fifth limb. And I guess I would be writing songs for other people, which I do sometimes. But if there's, it's just different, you know? It's different when you're writing songs that are real to you and then playing them for the world.
And are you doing, you know, when you get back home, when this tour is done, are you still doing other things to pay the bills? Are you, I don't know.
No, right now this is my life. You know, I'm very fortunate to be able to say that.
That's great.
Because I will say this is a full-time job. And I can't imagine not being able to put every minute of every day into it.
That's great. People who live in Manhattan, for example, are they likely to see you more often? Do you play out quite a bit?
Well, if we were talking like 6 months ago or a year ago, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, I started playing in Manhattan when I was 12, and that's where I learned how to perform. But now, you know, I'm on the road with Chris. I probably won't be coming back to New York at least until April. Mm-hmm. And then I'll probably be going out again. So New York is, you know, it's my favorite place in the whole world, but there is a whole world out there.
Absolutely. And so I have to ask, just because people say, well, why didn't you ask? So you're on tour with Chris Allen.
Mm-hmm.
What's the kid like? Nice kid?
Oh, he's the nicest. Yeah. He's awesome. Yeah, I mean, from day one, he was just so welcoming and warm and funny. And so is the whole band. You know, it's a pleasure to get to tour around with those guys.
Do you ever perform anything with them while you're out there?
Yeah, I do a duet with him, a song called Loves Me Not, which was on an album of his. So we've been doing that every night. It's been a lot of fun.
That's very nice.
It's really good to share the stage with him.
That's very nice. Well, folks, let me tell you that you can find Gillette Johnson's debut EP, Whiskey and Frosting, at great online retailers, or you can order it right now at a great price at MrMedia.com. If you're watching the video, there should be just below us, let me just well over there somewhere. Okay, there should be a. You'll see the image of the EP, and you can click on that. You can order it immediately. You've also got a website, which is GilletteJohnston.com.
Yes.
Gillette, not like the razor blade, but with a J, J-I-L-L-E-T-T-E, Johnston, .com. Are you on Twitter, Facebook, all that kind of stuff?
All of the above, and it's all Gillette Johnston.
All right, so people can find you.
Absolutely.
It was a pleasure getting to meet you and to have you here. Thank you for playing for us, and you know, continued good luck. I hope pretty soon you have that apartment that's big enough for your baby grand.
I hope so, too.
All right.
Just got to keep collecting my tips.
Exactly.
Know? I'll get there.
We'll do what we can.
Thank you.
Gillette Johnston, thanks for being on Mr. Media today.
Thanks for having me.
You can see and hear almost 1,000 Mr. Media interviews by visiting our main site, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Or check out the more than 200 video interviews on the Mr. Media Radio site on YouTube. And I'd sure appreciate if you'd show some love for Mr. Media's advertisers, including Stitcher. Apple named Stitcher a top 5 news app of 2011. It's a free mobile app for your smartphone or tablet that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. You can listen whenever you want to more than 5,000 shows, get customized recommendations, and discover what your friends are listening to. My own list of Stitcher favorites is pretty eclectic. I start my day with an hour of MSNBC's Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. Then it's the latest two-minute update from the Onion News Network. After that, I'll listen to WTF with Marc Maron, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, and excerpts from E's Chelsea Lately and The Soup with Joel McHale. Also in regular rotation on my Stitcher playlist, The BS Report with ESPN's Bill Simmons, The TechCrunch Headlines, and The Don Geronimo Show. The latest episodes of each show, whether originating from broadcasts, cable TV, radio syndication, or podcasts, are continuously updated. Stitcher is a free app for your iPhone, iPad, Kindle, Fire, BlackBerry, Droid, and more. And show your support of Mr. Media by getting, did I mention it's free? The app at stitcher.com/Mr. Media. That's stitcher.com/MR Media. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. We're also supported by Audible. Check out Audible's 30-day trial membership and download the audiobook version of the book everyone's been talking about, 50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James. Sign up for your free trial today at audible.com/radio. Again, audibletrial.com/radio. And finally, if you need a disc jockey for a wedding, bar mitzvah, corporate event, or just a big old party, please consider calling 1-800-DIAL-DJS, the party authority for all your party entertainment needs. You can call 1-800-DIAL-DJS or go to their website, 1-800-DIAL-DJS.com, and tell them Mr. Media sent you. And thanks for listening. Today's episode of Mr. Media Interviews is brought to you by GoDaddy.com. You know GoDaddy.com from their wild and sexy commercials, but isn't it time you actually test drove their web hosting and domain registration services yourself? For a limited time, Mr. Media listeners can save 10% on the already low price of web hosting services at GoDaddy.com by entering the promo code POD4 at checkout. Again, that's 10% off web hosting when you go to GoDaddy.com and enter the promo code POD4, that's P-O-D, the number 4, at checkout.